Hold your head up high.
Hey, Carol.
Hey, Carol.
We just want you to be happy.
Can I ask a question?
Certainly. What would you like to know?
How do I reverse all this?
All right, let's fucking go.
Pluribus,
baby. We just recorded like 20 minutes and it was awesome and we didn't get it, but that's okay because we're moving on. Welcome to our back pages. Welcome to Behind the Wall. Welcome to where we say that Vince Gilligan, we don't know him, but we just imagine him slowly humping the whole city of Albuquerque. Just his throbbing member just entering different parts of ABQ sensually and sexually. This show is really good. If you haven't watched it yet, then you're a fucking dumb shit because it's very good.
Get on BitTorrent. Torrent the show.
Torrent it. Torrent the shit out of it.
Ask your parents for an Apple Plus subscription or something. It's a great show. It's Vince Gilligan's new show. He previously did Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. And Better Call Saul is one of my favorite shows of all time, as is Breaking Bad. But Better Call Saul, I think, had the flaw of Rhea Seehorn, who is Saul's love interest, she was amazing, but she was really outshined by Bob Odenkirk, of course.
Yeah.
And so now we get her own show. And what's really cool about her being the protagonist of this is that she is a trashy romance writer who does not like her books. She does not like her fans.
She hates her fans.
She is a miserable misanthropic person. And she finds herself in a situation where all of humanity is joined in a type of communism, you could say, a type of telepathic communism through this alien virus that is transmitted through Earth and replicated in a lab. And she is one of the about a dozen immune people. So she's one of a dozen people who have retained her individuality after this joining. And she makes it her mission to make the rest of humanity miserable enough to return to the misery of individuality.
She is the sticky wicket. She is the fly in the ointment. She is exactly what if J.D. Vance was around in this Pluribus world, like he would excoriate her just as he excoriated Renee Good. And he would say, she's a childless cat lady. She's misanthropic. She hates humans. She won't even procreate because she's a lesbo. Like, she is everything that J.D. Vance and the good patrons of our government believe is evil. And that's why we think she's good. Ultimately, like, everybody that says that rugged individualism is good and that the warmth of collectivism is bad, those people are enemies to us. And that's why we watch this show, is to feel warm, feel the warmth of collectivism. I have to say, this show reminds me of, and we're going to get into the kind of nitty gritty of this. Andy saw this as a narrative of a writer who hates her audience, a writer who hates herself and her life. I saw this, interestingly, as maybe like kind of a meditation on artificial intelligence, on AI.
For sure.
Because the joined people, let's call them, right? Let's call them the people who have enjoined themselves.
The weirdos.
The El Raro, Los Raros, you know, which I like a lot. I'm going to start calling like the weird guy in the neighborhood El Raro. Fucking these Raros, they fucking, they have a way about them, which is like, I don't think communists would defend. You know, there's a way in which like their individuality, their animalistic existential individuality is subsumed into like a larger sort of Borg type structure, which, you know, I'm not sure that I see socialism as the warmth of that collectivism per se, but it raises serious questions for us which are good to talk about, you know, good to discuss. So cheers to Vince Gilligan for fucking humping AQ and fucking giving us this beautiful piece of art.
Yeah, and like I said, I think the show is primarily about the misanthropy and isolation that comes with being a writer.
Yeah.
And you know, in interviews, I think he said this is not about AI. You know,
sure. I whatever you say, buddy.
It's a very rich and interesting concept. This is sci-fi, and yeah. You know, it's open to interpretation. And so, I think mostly we'll be talking about this sort of communism that's portrayed in the show, which I think is a very good portrayal of like. The fear of communism that makes a lot of people not want to have anything to do with it. So when they hear Zoran Mondani talking about rugged mm-hmm. individualism versus the warmth of collectivism during his inauguration, mm-hmm. those who are being sincere and being worried about that might think like, well, what is this going to mean for me? Like I'm miserable in so many ways, but in socialist New York, am I going to have to think differently? Am I going to have to do things I don't want to do? Am I going to have to work at the soup kitchen or on the bread line or whatever? And it plays into this genre that I've been really interested in, a folk horror, like specifically Midsommar, where there's the horror in these things is like these isolated individual first world people who are depressed have to like seek out community. And once they find community, they find that there's actually something very dark behind what bonds people together. And
they're like, oh God, I live in a society.
And so for the first half of this show, and we haven't really spoiled anything yet. I'll let you know before the spoilers come. Carol has found herself as one of the dozen or so people who remain individuals. Mm-hmm. And the joined people treat her as a kind of pet because they have this weird sort of morality where they're a fruititarian, so they mm-hmm. don't eat meat. They will not harvest fruit or vegetables. They subsist on whatever's left over from the grocery stores because the whole show takes place over the course of 3 months after the joining. Or they subsist... Well, I'll save that for a second, but she's looking for the dark thing that's going to convince her fellow remaining individuals that the joining is bad and that they need to fight against it. They have to have a revolution mm-hmm. against the weirdos. Even though